God, I am the last person in the world who should be up here teaching, but I praise you that we have your word because I don't teach about me. This is all about you. So help us all to stand in awe of you, your immense love, and your faithfulness towards us as you change us. You call us, you save us. Bless this time, our ears, in the name of Jesus I ask. Amen. All right, we are going to read about one time when Jesus cleansed a leper. We're going to do a little hopping around. Please forgive me. And just like last time, it's a very interactive study, so no rhetorical questions. Let's participate, or this is going to take about 2.5 hours. Your call. Let's go to Luke 5, verses 12 through 16. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. So, tell me, from reading that passage, what was that leper like as a person? What characteristics can you glean from verse 12? What was that leper like as a person? Faithful? What else? Desperate? What else? Humble? Right? I mean, we can look at that and we walk away with, man, what humility, what faith. I want to be more like that. In fact, you need to be more like that. I mean, that's where we go with it, right? And there may be facets of truth to that. But the thing of it is, I think the story's a little more complex. I think the story's a little deeper than that. Remember, the Bible is supposedly about who? God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, right? So let's take a deeper look at this story and see if we might discover something new about Jesus found in this story that maybe we've missed. Let's see kind of how Jesus really is that better judge. Let's talk about leprosy, the skin condition known as leprosy. What is that? What is leprosy? Right? What else? Contagious, right? Is it something that we all would like to have? The Bible talks a bit about leprosy. Let's read some of what it says about that skin infection. We're going to Leviticus 13. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. The Lord spake to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When a person has on the skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or a spot, and it turns into a case of leprous disease on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priest, and the priest shall examine the diseased area on the skin of his body, and if the hair in the diseased area has turned white, and the disease appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a case of leprous disease. When the priest has examined him, we shall pronounce him unclean." So big deal, you're unclean, take a shower, right? What's the deal about being unclean? What did being unclean even mean? Separated from who? Separated from the group, right? What else? You're separated from God, you say. Okay, what else? Couldn't go into the temple to worship, okay? Let's look, I mean, during the time of that infection, they could not even be touched by others. The things that they touched became unclean. The people who touched, I touch this, Jesse touches that, he becomes unclean, okay? Let's see where that's found. Numbers 19, verse 22. "And whatever the unclean person touches shall be unclean, and anyone who touches it shall be unclean until evening." So anything that an unclean person touched, what happened to it? Contaminated. And what happened to someone who touched the contaminated thing? they become contaminated, right? And how long would their uncleanness last in this context? Until evening. Now understand that depending if it was a dead body, you touched a dead body, that was 7 days. There were different periods of time of uncleanness depending on what we're talking about. We're going to kind of stick with contacting a leper. Let's look at another set of commands regarding leprosy. Leviticus chapter 13, 45 and 46. 45 and 46. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes, no Gucci's allowed, and let the hair of his head hang loose, no going to a hairstylist, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside of the camp. What would life as a leper have been like? Let's talk about this. Does anyone here have their own business? Okay, what would life be like as a business owner if you became a leper? What would happen if you were a married person? What would life be, married person with or without children? What would life turn into? Right? What if you were single and you're hoping for that first date? What would happen if you were a kid and you had leprosy? No friends. You know that football we wanted to play? Sorry. Okay. So could the person dress up? What would they look like? Okay. And if they saw anyone coming, what would they have to do? Okay, and come up and give a nice hug. Hey, by the way, sorry. So a leper has been away from family, friends, work, church, synagogue, or temple, right? Then after the infection, if and only if the infection goes away, let's look at more. Leviticus 14, 1 through 9. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look. Then if the case of leprous disease is healed in the leprous person, the priest shall command them to take for him who is to be cleansed 2 live clean birds and cedar wood and scarlet yarn and hyssop. And the priest shall command them to kill one of the birds in an earthenware vessel over fresh water. He shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and hyssop and dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. Then he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed of the leprous disease. Then he shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird go into the open field. Now there's all manner of symbology in that I could unpack. I won't. That's going to be Ben's one day. I will let him do that. And he who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and bathe himself in water, and he shall be clean. And after that, he may come into the camp, but live outside of his tent for 7 days. And on the 7th day, he shall shave off all his hair from his head, his beard, and his eyebrows. He shall shave off all his hair, and then he shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and he shall be clean. So, question. Has this person gone through enough? What do you think? Absolutely. This is a nightmare. In picking up a skin infection, what did that mean to his relationship with God? Did it impact his relationship with God? He was non-existent to people, but relationship to God is... Okay, has anyone ever had a skin infection? What happened to your relationship with God during that time? Okay. Is this person guilty of some offense? Is this person guilty of sinning? Okay. It's a skin infection, right? Let me say something that we do not realize just how holy God is. It's an odd statement to make, especially in the context of a skin infection, but the Old Testament reveals that God is so holy that even something as small as a skin infection distances us from Him. We're going to go there. The truth is that when we look at God's holiness as the Bible lays it out, it really does, and it really should make us uncomfortable with that. We're so used to the buddy God that I think we lack understanding of just how holy He is according to the Word of God. Let's look at some passages about what the leper is to do once. This is after he's pronounced clean. Okay? Let's go to Leviticus chapter 14, verse 10. And on the eighth day he shall take two male lambs without blemish and one ewe lamb a year old without blemish and a grain offering of 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. Matt, can you run and get me an ephah of flour? Okay. Depending on the authority that you subscribe to, an ephah of flour is somewhere near 8 pounds of flour. Okay? 8 pounds of flour, one log of oil, that's about a cup and a third of olive oil. And the priest who cleanses him shall set the man who is to be cleansed and these things before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And the priest shall take one of the male lambs and offer it for what kind of offering? But you just said the man had no guilt. What does God say? First lamb sacrificed for a guilt offering. We just said the person had done no wrong, but God is so holy that even a skin infection required an offering for guilt. But wait, there's more. I'm sorry, I've got to jump verses. I don't like doing that, but for the sake of time, we're going to skip to the 19th verse. Feel free to read this on your own time. It is there and very interesting. So the priest has already offered the guilt offering. Verse 19 begins like this. The priest shall offer the sin offering, second lamb, to make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. So here we have the second lamb offered for sin. And then we continue. And afterward he shall kill the burnt offering, and the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be cleansed. So there we have it. First lamb guilt, second lamb sin, third lamb for atonement, which is reconciliation with God. And now they are finally clean in God's presence. Do you like that God, or isn't the buddy God a little more cuddly? You know? This is what the Word of God says. So, those are some of the laws with regards to behavior and the cleansing process of someone who has leprosy. We're going to reread this leper story, but this time from Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And a leper came to him, Jesus, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Do you see anything that the leper might have done wrong? Okay, leper's supposed to say, unclean, right? How close did he get to Jesus? What does the law say about that? Can you approach God in that state? Okay, let's. It gets worse. Let's go to Matthew 8, verses 1 and 2. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Do you see anything the leper really overlooked? A great crowd of people. Okay, here we go. Questions. Was Jesus alone? Who was with him? How close did the leper get to Jesus? And inherently, certain members of the crowd. I mean, did Jesus run point? Okay, so inherently, this guy got how close to Jesus? Close enough to extend the hand and touch. So we have the people, the multitude, we have Jesus, we have three accounts of the same story, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, I am not going to pound on the pulpit and to say that this guy was not doing what he should. He didn't say unclean. I can't say that. The Bible didn't say that. But I find it very interesting. We have three accounts and not one say he was doing that. Regardless, he approached people. So, question. Where did the law come from? God. God exists in how many persons? Who are they? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This was Jesus' own law. This was Jesus' own law. I mean, imagine, how do you react when someone breaks one of your laws? Let me go back. Meredith Covey, one of my laws is arrive early or at least on time. How do I treat y'all when you're breaking my law or others? Not great. Not good. What are some of your laws? You will not talk to me in that tone of voice. When I speak, you listen. I will be respectful. What are some of your laws? You know, if I eat and do everything right, you owe me an ice cream, Mom. Right? What happens when someone breaks our laws? So this guy, we don't see him in obedience to what the Word of God says for him to do. He approaches Jesus, hands distance away. He approaches the crowd. Did Jesus rebuke him? Did Jesus freeze him out? Distance himself from him. So instead of staying away from Jesus and the crowd, instead of the unclean, as the law commands, what did the man do and what was he saying? Yeah. He just approaches, throws himself on the ground, either kneeling or face down, however you want to translate that, and he implores, oh, by the way, if you want, you can heal me. So Matthew says that Jesus was coming down from a mountain. What had Jesus been doing just prior? What was Jesus doing on the mountain? Yeah, Matthew 5-7, we call it the Sermon on the Mount, okay? Let's look at just some of the things that had just come out of Jesus' mouth during the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5:17-19. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say unto you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Was that man upholding the law? No. Verse 43 and 44. You have heard that it was said you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Question, was that man loving his neighbor? He was not even, let alone his enemy. He was not loving his neighbor. Let's see, who was he most likely loving? Himself. Matthew 7:12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. If that same leper had seen another leper approaching his family, his friends, what would have been going through his mind? Right? Was that leper fulfilling the golden rule? Verse 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Was that man obeying the words of Jesus' sermon on the mount? Was he obeying the law? Now, we do not know if that man was present at the Sermon on the Mount. So I can't accuse him of those things. I'm just bringing to bear what Jesus had just finished teaching when he came down from the mountain, surrounded by this crowd, right? But at minimum, this turkey should have known what the law said, right? But what about the people in the crowd who had heard Jesus' sermon on the mount? What might have been the thoughts in their hearts and in their minds when this guy got that close to them? What do you think they thought of that man? Yeah. Okay, let's go back just a few short years ago. What about vaccinated, unvaccinated? What about masked and unmasked? Okay, now, we're not talking about an infectious and uncurable life-threatening disease of the magnitude of leprosy. How would you have reacted to that leper bumping into you on his way to Jesus? I want to share something with you that till this very day gives me awe about Jesus. Notice how Jesus did not avoid that man. Notice, it astounds me. Jesus did not even take one step back. That amazes me about our Savior. If I were Jesus, and I think we'll all agree that we're glad I'm not, I would have probably looked at the guy and said, hey, how about you go back, begin doing what you're supposed to do, begin to think of others before yourself, and once you've got that figured out, come back to me in an appropriate way, and maybe I will heal you. And by the way, that's kind of how I tend to treat people who aren't walking in line with what they should be doing as believers. And it's on steroids when we're talking about unbelievers. Do you see a slight difference in my heart in Christ's? So this leper ignored what he was supposed to do so that he could be healed, yet what was in Jesus' heart? Let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 41. Moved with pity. That word is translated as pity here. There's a whole plethora of other translations that uses a different word than pity. What is that word? Compassion. I get why they did pity here. I believe compassion was the better word. Moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I will be clean. Jesus is a much better judge than I ever will be. Jesus is a much better judge than me. He was moved with compassion, unlike you or I or a whole multitude of people who was with him that day who saw that person who we would have reacted with anger or indignation or indifference or minimum felt superior to him. This guy, obviously, he wasn't at church to hear Jesus teach, you know? The thing of it is, when I see how Jesus interacted with that leper, messed up that he was, that brings me all manner of hope because I'm so like him in so many ways still. So remember, the leper left a distance between himself and Jesus, right? Jesus did not just stop at compassion. Did Jesus want to heal that man, train wreck though he was? Yeah, he did. What did Jesus do about the distance that the leper had left between them? Jesus is the one who closed the gap. Okay? Did the impurity of that leper pass on to Jesus? What did happen then? The purity of Jesus passed on to the leper. That's the only hope I've got, y'all. Because I tend to leave a slight distance. Yeah, I kind of want to be healed, but maybe not that healed. I'll get there in a minute. But Jesus is the one who crosses that distance, and the purity passes on to the one who's been touched. That's how Jesus operates. So Jesus healed him. And what did Jesus do right after that miracle? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at what I did. Is that what Jesus did? Did Jesus want fame for what he had just done? Did he use this opportunity to preach a sermon? Now that I've healed you, we're going to have a project lesson. Is that what Jesus did? He did not even... Do you notice a slight difference in my heart than Jesus' heart? I mean, if I would have done that, I would want to do a book signing. Do a tour and take the dude with me, you know? Who was at the center of Jesus' heart? That leper. That leper. Jesus, his focus was on the person way more than the disobedience. Now, chew on that. That's the immense love of Christ. Jesus was even more in love with that man than Jesus' own ability to do miracles. Jesus, you can read it throughout the New Testament, he never forgot the person by way of the project. He never lost his focus on the person. So look, when you look at all of these stories in the Old Testament, all of the stories in Judges, indeed, you know, throughout the Bible, there's someone, you know, is there a person who judges us, heals us, delivers us like Jesus, like God? Jesus is by far the better judge. He's the one that the entire Word of God points us to. After healing the man, though, Jesus told him to offer the sacrifices as a testimony, okay? I believe that the man came to Jesus somewhat selfishly disobedient. I don't know if y'all are on board with that or if you agree with that, but from my perspective, distilling what the law teaches and looking at the ambiance, it looks like this man, though in part humble, was also partly kind of self-centered, self-loving. Okay? He came to Jesus somewhat selfishly disobedient, and now Jesus shows abundant compassion on by healing him, and then he points him to go back to the priest, back to the commands. Now, do what you should. Do what the commands tell you to do. So on one hand, he's kneeling. He's face down. It looks like humility, yet on the other, totally disobeying the law, totally disobeying Jesus' teaching, so that he can be healed. I mean, have you noticed something very similar about this story that you've saw, that you've seen as you've gone through the Judges? The people cry out. Why? They're desperate. They're suffering. They don't want to be. So they cry out to God. God does what? Saves them. And then what? How do they repay? How do they show their gratitude? They go right back to Baal worship. Question. Have you seen some of that in your own heart or your own life? You know? We really do love Jesus as our Savior. I mean, don't you? How cozy are we with Jesus as our Lord? Okay, before you answer that, let's look at some New Testament commands. You really can't swat these aside, all right? Let's look at Titus chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Remind them, believers, the yous and me's, to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient and ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one other than Joe Biden or Trump, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. How we doing, church? Yeah, I want to be healed, but maybe not that healed. Okay, let's look at another. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Another translation says, do all things without arguing or complaining. You know what? Does anyone have a divine eraser? Let's wipe this one out of the book, right? Maybe Romans 15, verse 7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. I really don't like the way that translation. The Greek is proslambano, which means to aggressively receive with strong personal interest. You know, like Jesus did for you, mess though you were, and sorry, are. Do you have the gratitude that he loves me warts and all that is motivating you to love and receive others, mess though that they may be? How are we doing? You know, if you want, you can heal me. Oh, he is my Savior. But we do leave that distance, and we do it in a multiplicity of very creative ways. Here's just a few. Wives, submit to your husbands. Or how about husbands, love your wives in the same way that Jesus loved the church? Let's do Chip's translation here. Husbands, love your very imperfect wives just as Christ loves the very imperfect church. Oh, I love this other one about husbands. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, not that she's, you know, the fragile thing. It's more of a beautiful giant Chinese or Japanese vase. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you in the grace of life, so that your prayers are not hindered. How we doing, peeps? You know, we like him as our Savior, but are we willing to bow the knee fully for him to be Lord? How about this? Children, obey your parents. Sorry. Honor your father and mother. We have so much in common with that leper. And we have a lot in common with the people that we're reading about in Judges that we would otherwise say, thank God I'm not like them. Sorry, bad news, we are. What does it take to heal us? Let's go back to Jesus and the leper. Look at what Jesus did to the leper who was not obeying the law, nor was he living out of loving others. And it's almost as if Jesus was saying, now that he healed him, okay, now you know that stuff that the law says for you to do, the commands? Do that. Begin living that way. It's just like Jesus did not look at the woman caught in adultery and say, go thy way and sin some more. Jesus delivered her from certain. By the way, the Pharisees and Jesus both wanted the woman to stop living an adulterous life. But they had kind of different means to get to that end. Sure, killing the woman would fix that problem. But Jesus had a totally different way because he wanted to bring a new way of living in life to that woman. Jesus wants to deliver us and others. Let me ask you, which fault, failure, sin, self-centeredness improves your relationship with those around you? which fault, failure, or sin makes you into a better person? I ain't hearing nothing, y'all. You know why? Because nothing does. And Jesus came to deliver us and others from the destruction that our self-centeredness and self-love cause. Jesus truly is the better judge, because he's not just waiting to cut your head off. He wants to heal you, mess that you are, and give you the fuel to live the way he's called us to. So, and imagine how holistic Jesus' love is. Jesus weren't alone with that boy. He was surrounded by a crowd. Now, and Matt, put yourself in the place. It's obvious the dude's got leprosy. He comes up. He's really close to you. And Jesus had just finished saying, oh, by the way, don't be anxious about things. How would your anxiety be if a leper had just approached you? You know? This incredible love of Jesus. He healed the leper instantaneously. Yeah, there's a time where Jesus told the guy, hey, go and wash in the pool. And he came back and he wasn't cleansed. He wasn't healed. Go back. Imagine if Jesus had done that with the leper, with that crowd around him. Jesus not only loved the leper like he loves you, he loves those around you. He really does want to heal you and I, not just for you and I, but for the love of those around us. So imagine the sigh of relief when Jesus healed that guy. So listen, there is no moral of the story here. I'm not going to say, okay, you know, for this week, I want you to do this, this, and this. And imagine going to the Grand Canyon and someone getting all scientific on you. And they won't shut up about the different layers of striations. Isn't there a time to just stand in awe? That's what I want to do today. I am amazed at our Savior, at our King, at our God, who from Genesis to Revelation and to this date and beyond, his love is profound. His love is immense. He is our Savior. He is our deliverer. He is the author and the perfecter or finisher of our faith. Is it possible that, mess though I am, Jesus sees me with compassion? Is it possible that the same is true for you? Mess though you are, that when he sees you, that's what goes through his mind. And you know that distance that you and I leave? Jesus is an expert at doing what with that distance? Crossing it. And the holy passes to the unholy. The clean and the pure passes to the pure. So as you guys continue your study through Judges, indeed the rest of the Word of God, and indeed in our lives, I really want you to lay hold of the fact that Jesus is, God is this amazing judge that we really need and we have. He is our deliverer. You may be struggling today with something. He's on his way. He's committed to us. His promises are more faithful to us than ours are to him. Amen? Let's pray real quick. God, you amaze me with your love, a love that we do not earn. We don't merit it, but we'll receive it because your love, your grace is the only hope we've got. Because we are just like the people of Israel. We are a stiff-necked and a stubborn people. And you specialize in people like us. So thank you that you have not given up on us. Help us to put more and more faith in you and your love. And let's abandon our self-love. Put our trust in you. In Jesus' name, I ask all of this. Amen.